the sun is shining and all of my favorite plant friends are popping up right now. Speaking of plants, what are you growing this year? Do you know? Do you know what kind of medicine will be in your garden? Or are you still trying to figure it out? Totally okay if you're still trying to figure it out. We're all growing and learning on this journey, right? But if you want some help, I do have a family medicine garden guide. It's basically 10 essential herbs that I feel like every mom needs to know and grow in their yard. I give you some growing tips and ways that you can use it as medicine, and it's totally free. So if you want that, I'm going to pop a link in the show notes here for you to grab it and get your hands digging in the dirt and growing incredible medicine for you and your family. Hello and welcome to The Herbalist Path, a podcast where you'll discover how to make your own herbal remedies at home so that you can take better care of yourself, better care of your family, and better care of our planet. I'm Mel. I'm a clinical herbalist, environmental educator, and mountain living mama with this crazy passion for teaching more mamas and their little loves how to use plants as medicine in a safe, effective, and tasty way so that there can be an herbalist in every home again. It's an absolute honor to have you on the journey down the herbalist path with me so that together, we can make herbalism. Hashtag spread like wildflowers. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode on The Herbalist Path. I'm really excited today because I am bringing back my very first ever guest on The Herbalist Path, Missy Rose from the Arctos School of Botanical medicine. Is that how you title the whole thing? I should have checked. Missy.
Arctos School of Herbal and Botanical Studies.
Thank you. Cause I always just, you're just Arctos to me. So sometimes they can all run together and I apologize for that, but I am so excited to have you back on the show. I think number one, because when I first started this podcast, it was right before the pandemic, right? It was like January of 2020. And I had no clue how to run a podcast. And I had this list of these interview questions. And I remember like my first three interviews, I just was like, here's the questions. This is what we're talking about. And I have since learned that, oh my gosh, we can just have a really fun conversation and totally nerd out about plants all day long. So I'm excited to have you back and have a little more like flow and ease to our conversation and share some of your journey of plant medicine and what lights you up about herbalism and all that fun stuff. So thank you for coming back on.
Yay. I am so excited to be here. And it's always, like two joys, right? Like I get to do like this cool podcast with an herbalist who loves plants. And like, I also get to talk to Mel and that's awesome. So that always makes my day better.
Yay. Yeah. That's my favorite part of doing this podcast is the interviews and just really getting to like have a good time with people that love plants as much as me. And, I'll be honest, like today I'm a little foggy because we had an epically fun time at a water park and a museum yesterday with my family. And I was like, gosh, I have a lot to do today. How am I going to do it? And I'm like, wait, I'm just talking with plant friends today. So this is going to be really easy. So I got lucky on that. But Missy, tell me a little a bit about you. And like, I know that was a very rough intro of you. So fix my intro and let people know about Missy.
Let's see here. What about me? I am a person who fell into herbalism through a lot of like DIY culture and activism of the 90s is what kind of pulled me in. And I've been deeply rooted here in the Pacific Northwest my whole adult life. And for about the first 10 years that I was here almost, it hadn't occurred to me that I could go on hikes and know what plants I was seeing and like be able to call them my friends. And like my whole herbal journey really opened all of that up. And that was pretty special. What else about me?
Oh, hold on. I'll draw out more on you. First, I want to talk about like, about that, like just you getting into it. Can you like backtrack a little bit and like what really started getting you into this study of plant medicine and recognizing how, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it's empowering and powerful.
Yeah.
Maybe it was for you too, I presume.
Absolutely. It's kind of like learning another language and then like having a whole other culture that you get to just visit anytime you want. Like, okay. I don't know. That analogy probably doesn't hold up fully, but it's a little like that.
I think it's definitely like that. Like, it's definitely a whole nother language and it is a whole nother culture. I love that. I love that thought. I was like, oh, perfect. Yes. Sorry to interrupt you, but yeah, carry on. Yeah.
So when I was in college, I got really into the punk scene, doing a lot of Food Not Bombs and just a lot of do-it-yourself culture stuff when that was a super big thing in the 90s, just coming up as a subculture. And in punk zines, I saw all these different publications being like, ooh, there's, you know, herbal abortions. And if you ever get pregnant, like you can just take some plants and you never have to go to the doctor again. And while that's not entirely how that works, like it's not that easy. You don't just read a recipe, chug some herbs and you're all good to go. Mm-hmm. That is what drew me in at first. That's sort of like my entry point of, you know, being empowered for generative organ health and control of my own reproductive agency was kind of my like in. And so I dabbled in some herbal stuff, you know, made my first tincture, da-da-da-da-da in college. And then once I got out of there, I just was an activist 24/7, doing a lot of cross-border solidarity, a lot of anti-capitalism work, a lot of labor solidarity. And through all of that, let's see here, I'm trying to make this like not the whole hour long, but I started getting a little burnt out on some aspects of organizing, constantly facilitating things, constantly organizing new groups, constantly talking about structure. And I wanted a role where I could just like walk in, do a thing, be good, walk out and like go home and feel like I had like done a public service, like done something good for the movement. And so I expressed interest to a friend in joining a group that was providing first aid at demonstrations, which was called Black Cross Health Collective at the time. And he was like, oh, you want to join? Interesting. And so he talked to the rest of the group and got me invited in. And he had accidentally facilitated the situation where they thought that I had first aid experience. And I thought that since they were inviting me, they would teach me first aid experience or first aid skills. And so thus began my journey because I, you know, instantly dove in and learned a whole bunch of first aid stuff and got my wilderness first responder like course under my belt and all of that. But I also realized that everyone else in the group were things like herbalists and, you know, trauma hospital nurses and nurse practitioners and acupuncturists, massage therapists and stuff. And I was like, I should probably learn a little bit more about health stuff. I'm kind of into this herbalism thing. Let me study with a couple of the herbalists. And so started studying with Colette Gardner and with Krista Olson. I dove into both of their programs at the same time. And, that was that sea change where I was just like, wait, like I can walk through the forest and this shrub that just looked like random evergreen shrub to me is actually Oregon grape. And I can have a relationship with it and know how I could use it and know what it tastes like. And I know that that's not the only thing plants are good for. Plants are amazing in their own right. They are valuable, like without any relationship to humans. But that's my entry point with the plant world, you know, like my ability to interact with them in that fashion.
Yeah, I think for me, like that empowerment and that incredibly awesome, like truly to the word awesome, feeling of knowing that I can walk through the woods and I do know these plants and they are, yes, my friends. And I know how to use them as medicine. I know when is the best time to harvest them. When we have times like we've witnessed in the last, gosh, my lifetime, I guess, but really the past 3 years since our first podcast episode and the world flips upside down, it was during that time that I was like, man, I'm really grateful I know about plant medicine and how to identify plants in the wild and how to hold my own in that realm, because our system and infrastructure is completely collapsed because yeah. of what's going on. Like that is such incredible skills to know. Like for me, that kind of stuff is far more valuable than most of the college degrees out there, because that can save your life. That can keep your family going. But when the world flips upside down and everybody's job ends and all of these other things happen, like, what are you doing? How is that helping you survive past this? I don't know. Maybe that's a bit dramatic.
No, but it's like my favorite like mind exercise, right? Like as I was learning, I would go on walks with my partner at the time and she and I would play a game of, okay, so let's say we're stranded out here. The earthquake happens. Like, what are we going to use for food? Like, what are we going to use if we get an infection? And like, thinking of those kind of like extreme scenarios helps you be so much more flexible with everyday scenarios or, you know, the unusual scenarios like being in the middle of a freaking pandemic that I do feel like herbalism kind of set me up for and trained me for, but I also didn't have a realistic vision of it happening in my lifetime. I did have the like brain expectation that it could happen in my lifetime, but I didn't really think it would.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think any of us really thought it would. It just said, surprise, I'm here. But just being able to know that you have those skills set in place in that time is pretty amazing. For me, I know I have utilized that so many darn times. And I know people are always like, how do you learn about that? How do you do more of that? And you are somebody who teaches those kinds of things now after spending so many years learning that stuff. I would love to hear a little bit about what you teach at Arctos and why it's so important to learn those skills. I mean, I guess I just touched on it, on why it's so important, but I'd love to hear more about what you do at Arctos and how you help people develop those kinds of skills. Hey, I wanted to take a quick pause to show some love and gratitude to our sponsors of the Herbalist Path podcast, who make this show possible for me and possible for you too. So here it goes. I love this time of year. It's spring, the sun is shining, and all of our beautiful plant friends are popping up. It's amazing. Unless, of course, you're one of the millions of people who suffer from seasonal allergies. You know, the itchy, watery eyes, the sneezing and wheezing that's straight miserable. Thankfully, there are some amazing herbs that can help you with all of that. Just like the herbs inside of Kick-Ask Allergy from Wish Garden Herbs, one of my absolute favorite herbal companies out there. Kick-Ask Allergy, yes, I said ask without the K at the end. Anyways, this formula has yerba santa, nettles, echinacea for that immune support, and orange peels, all which come together to help dry up those excessive mucosal secretions. Yep, I'm talking about the sniffles and the stuffy nose, the watery eyes, and all that jazz.
This blend also acts as a great expectorant and can help ease the swelling and inflammation in those mucosal tissues. It is a top go-to for seasonal allergies. And get this, they combine all those beautiful herbs with glycerin, so it actually tastes pretty darn good. Or should I say, it tastes kick-ass, without the K at the end. Anyways, if allergy season is miserable for you and you want a natural remedy that actually works for those itchy eyes and being all sneezy and wheezy, you have got to check out Wish Garden Herbs Kick-Ass Allergy. And for those of you with the little kiddos, no sweat, they've got a kick-it allergy too. And you pregnant mamas, you don't have to suffer either. They've got a kick-ass allergy formula just for you. So head over to wishgardenherbs.com or check out the link in the show notes and go grab yourself some kick-ass allergy so you can enjoy spring again.
Absolutely. Like, I think that, you know, we teach really practical skills with using herbs as medicine. And I mean, herbs really broadly. Like, people don't usually think of cabbage as an herb, but I can tell you a few different ways to use cabbage as medicine. And I'm sure you can too. And, you know, the more and more that I think about it, actually, I say that out loud and I'm like, but you could also do this and this. You know, I think that becoming a bit of a MacGyver around that is hopefully a skill that folks come out with, like the flexibility to work with what they have. And whether that's their kitchen apothecary or, you know, like whether it's out camping in the Pacific Northwest and they're in the forest or in a field by a river. Whether it is, you know, here in an urban setting, I'm in Portland, whether it's, you know, working with like the weeds and the garden plants that we have all around us, even like thinking about like the strip mall plants, you know, you go to Fred Meyer or Target or whatever, and like there's medicinals planted right there in the parking lot. It's not my first choice of where to harvest medicine, but if you have an urgent first aid need, or, you know, the earthquake happens and that's where you happen to be, like, yeah, it can be really helpful to know that stuff in a pinch. So we try to convey not just specific plants and their uses, but categories of plants and their uses. So if you study with us and you move to a different bioregion, or you, you know, start getting really into like working with a certain variety of plants or whatever, you can take those skills and apply them to your new apothecary, to your new medicinary. And so you know that if you've got something astringent, you can gargle with it for a boggy sore throat. And you know that if you've got something antimicrobial, you could apply it topically in, you know, A, B, or C fashion to an infected wound. So we give those skills and like a lot of hands-on medicine making, so people feel confident using those skills and making their own medicines at home. We get a lot of like face-to-face time with the plants, both out in the wild and in urban settings.
That face-to-face time is just something that you can't get online. Like, I teach online, and what you were just talking about, like the astringent things and knowing how to take the information they're learning with you, and then if they move to another area, how they can utilize those skills still. That goes back to what you were talking about, like the language. It's a totally different language. And once you get those foundations and understand that language, it's so important. But also that time to like be out in the field and discover like what kind of area a plant might grow in. So when you're walking along, you're like, oh, I recognize like what's going on with the landscape here. I wonder if I can find this plant here or something along those lines. Like, I just feel like as I'm teaching online, there's so many times that I say to my students, like, well, gosh, I wish I could give you smell-o-vision. And it takes me back to when I was learning about plants first, and I did get to learn in the field. And I think sometimes today people forget how important that hands-on help is, and they go to their plant ID apps, which are obviously not 100% correct, and you're missing out on so much by not taking that walk with an herbalist that knows the area, that has worked with these plants and can tell you stories and can tell you how it's going to work beyond whatever silly meme you saw about that plant that makes you want to know it. I get pretty like passionate about like that hands-on stuff. Like my background before becoming an herbalist was environmental and experiential education. So it was like, touch things, do things, learn them that way. And it's just such a different world with our rapidly advancing online education space, things like that. And it's still so important to be able to learn in person is, I guess, where I'm going with that. And I'm grateful that you do share so much of that plant ID, that connection, the connection piece. Can you talk about the connection piece to plants when you're out in the woods?
It's the kind of thing that for me is a little ineffable. It's a little hard to describe. And it's not, I'll be clear, like it's not the thing that I teach. Like the thing that I'm teaching is the practical skills, but it's that thing where it's like, well, we also happen to be in this place that if you haven't noticed, like I feel like is utterly sacred. And I'm hoping that you are noticing that too. And like, it is so great when you see that the students are experiencing that as well, that like they are seeing the awe of that spot. And like, I am talking about some like pretty breathtaking places, like up on the mountain or something, but I'm also talking about like, oh my gosh, there's a little patch of amazing weeds right in the parking strip here, you know? Mm-hmm. And like to see people become so enchanted with like the land and the plants that grow on it and the fungi that grow on it, and like all of that is, it's just very rewarding. It's very special. And that's the thing that I get to like facilitate. But honestly, like the students are doing that themselves and the land is doing that themselves. Like I'm not the one who's making that happen.
Yeah, I was going to back up and say, well, actually, Missy, you are teaching connection because you're getting them to see it, touch it, feel it. And then the rest of the connection process is all their individual unique path. I don't think you can teach.
Yeah.
Connection, you know, they're going to develop their own relationship. They're going to, the plants are going to be like, nope, you're my friend. And it may not be the plant that is so much your friend. So
absolutely.
that you're just opening the doors to connection.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that's kind of my take on that. But yeah, to be able to identify them, yes, in the beautiful places that are incredibly sacred is so important, but also to know like, boom, there's that parking lot. And yes, that's not the ideal place to harvest from. Can you talk to a little bit about why it's not the ideal place? But again, if there's an earthquake, then heck yeah, I'm glad I know this.
Yeah, totally. Like, I really do. I'm a little agnostic about like the exact specifics of where to harvest. I know that, you know, some people are like, don't harvest within 10 feet of a street. And some people are like, don't harvest in a metro area. And, you know, everybody's got a different line. But I really like to just put out the questions like, you know, what do you think this plant's experience has been with like car pollution? What do you think this plant's experiences has been with like people like pouring out the rest of their soda, like that kind of stuff? I don't really want to harvest things that, for folks who are familiar with snowy places, like if you can envision how far that dirty snow would go if you were like near a road, you know. I spent my childhood on the East Coast, so I had a lot of snow when I was growing up. And like that was kind of the gross part of April, was like everywhere that there was still snow, there's the gross dirty snow. Like if you can imagine how far that goes, like that's where I'm a little reluctant to harvest unless I absolutely need it right then. But I'd rather not make medicine from stuff that's, you know, next to the parked cars, next to like the neighbor that you know pours bleach in his backyard for some reason or whatever. You know. But I also feel like, you know, part of my philosophy with where we're at environmentally is that like we work with what we have, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what I see as a key skill of an herbalist is you work with what you have, which is like really exciting. So, you know, honestly, like if we've created this world where we're living in some like kind of polluted places, like that's probably some of what we're going to end up working with as medicine. I'm going to try to be picky and choosy about harvesting like the best when I'm talking about medicine, but I, you know, like I'm not going to only go to pristine places that have only seen footsteps five times over the last year or whatever, because like those places are serving their own awesome purposes for the wildlife, for their own ecosystem. So, you know, you've got to find like the right ethics for you with regard to what's safe for folks to ingest, but also with what's good for the planet and for the ecosystem.
Yeah. And I definitely want to touch on that planet and ecosystem piece right now. It's, you know, the whole reason I got into the world of herbalism is because I wanted to save the planet. Like, cool that I can help people with plants too, but really I want to save this precious earth, right? Because without it, we have no people to save. And, you know, there's obviously been a really, really huge shift and a huge drawing of people to the world of plant medicine, and wildcrafting has become uberly hip and all over social media. And so is the decline of certain plant species due to that really rapidly growing trend. And I just want to kind of open up a conversation about that and hear your thoughts and how you approach that with your students and things along those lines.
Absolutely. Like, I love learning about wildcrafting so that we can do it, but like also learning that most of the time we don't have to do it, that we have really good options without impacting the wild per se, you know, is a key part of that to me. And so, when I moved into my house, the first thing I did was blow a bunch of dandelion seeds all over the lawn.
I love that. You know, welcome to the neighborhood. I'm making so many wishes right now.
But like, you know, now there are some in my parking strip, which I'm not going to use for medicine, but now there are also some in my backyard, which I will like so enthusiastically use for medicine. And having something that's like sustainable, that steps away from me, where I'm harvesting a weed and not something that's like disappearing from the ecosystem, that means so much to me. And when I hear stories of folks like going up to say Mount Hood and harvesting our native gentians up there, it just like breaks my heart because there are so few places where gentian thrives up there. It's a classic herbal bitter and like found in a lot of like herbal bitters blends and stuff. And as far as I can tell, my best understanding is that they cultivate it in Europe, and that's why it's widely available for stuff like that. But like, why would we go out into our wild spaces, into like select unique spots where the few that gentian grows, and pick that plant when we could do almost exactly the same thing herbally with the dandelion that grows in our backyard? Or if we don't have a backyard, like making friends with someone a block away who's like, please harvest the dandelion from my backyard. I would rather it not be there. Mm-hmm. It's just, it means so much to me that we focus on things that are greatly abundant rather than things that are like, you know, precious and special and in their special little spot and whatever. And so honestly, like one of the kicks I'm on this year and something I'm going to talk about, at Oshala Farms Herb Camp this
yay!
Summer. I know, yay! Is that I really want to focus on the medicine of abundance and like start making like icons and worshiping the things that are really abundant in our lives so that we realize like just how special that plantain is or that chickweed is. And we don't have to be like, ooh, maca from another continent, or like, you know, ooh, I have to harvest my arnica from the top of the mountain. Like, we can grow arnica in our backyards and it's still really potent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that piece on the abundance piece because, you know, as you were talking about gentian, I was thinking back on some of my first plant walks when I first started learning about herbalism and the beautiful meadows in which they love to grow on around where I live, but a little farther up the mountain. And they are such precious areas. And that plant is so tiny and beautiful. You know, gentian is so, so pretty. And to think like for it to not be there for my child's generation or the next generation. But then just bringing up the fact that, yeah, we could use dandelion, which also has amazing bitter properties and is everywhere. Like, how can we shift that? Like, oh, this is super cool and super trendy. Let's focus on what's super available and super, super great medicine still. That's so important. I love that.
I love Absolutely. That. And like, I don't have anything against like occasionally taking a little gentian here and there, you know, like I don't, if you're out camping next to a beautiful meadow full of it, like it's okay to eat a little bit before your dinner or whatever. But like, I just feel like when we're talking about like, you know, when I see a health consultation client and I'm like, oh yeah, you could really use some bitters. Like, I'm absolutely never going to think gentian. I'm always going to think things like dandelion or burdock or something easy to grow in the garden, like blue vervain or something.
Yeah. I love that. So it really speaks a lot to like understanding your apothecary and understanding the different options. And it goes back to that, like, learning the new language of herbalism. And I remember when I first started studying, I'm like, wow, this is really a whole new language. And when you start to really understand that language and get it and be able to use it across the board with different plants is really, really powerful. And one thing, like you're talking about a lot of different plants right now, which is really, really cool. But one thing I've been iterating to some of my students is like, it's not about knowing 40 or 400 different plants. It's about knowing 5 plants and how to use them 40 different ways that you become really cool with plant medicine. But also just understanding what is around you and readily available.
Definitely.
Maybe I'm preaching to out there. I don't know, but I can nerd out on this topic forever and ever and ever. Just because I do, you know, we see it happening all the time. Oh, this plant is great for that. Great. Now some big person's going to go out and harvest it all because they want it. And they want to make money off of it. And now it doesn't grow back for future generations. It hurts my heart. It's something that's really important to me. I know you were also, there's something that you said, a couple of things that you've said in this interview that I wrote down that I wanted to touch a bit about. Really early in our conversation, one of the things you were like, well, it's not like you just read a recipe and chug herbs and everything's great and then that's it. And I think I'm trying to remember the context. It was about like when you were starting to get on your path. And I want to talk about that read a recipe and chug a bunch of herbs and poof, you're fixed. I think that that is something that is rampant in the world today. I hear it all of the time. Mel, what do I take for this? Mel, what do I take for that? Like they want that instant chug, instant pill fix. And I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it for about 7 years, I sold tinctures at a farmer's market. And like, that was absolutely the response I got over and over and over. I would usually have about like 7 different blends on the table. And I was trying to cover some bases and like make up blends that were, you know, close enough to one size fits all that they were like safe to sell to folks and whatever. But like people would come up and be like, So I have IBS and a twitch in my face. And like, also I have a hard time sleeping through the night. Which of these things will fix that? And I'm just like, can we please sit down? And I like even made out little handouts of like, I really want to see you for a full health consultation, because this isn't just like, oh, obviously something I have right here at the table will just like magically fix that. Like, this is going to be a process. It's also going to be about finding out a lot about you and your body, your lifestyle, like what you resonate with, what you don't resonate with, whatever. And, you know, it is so much more like nuanced than just like, oh, take this for that. And there's still some cases where you can say, take this for that, right? Like, again, in a pinch, like, you know, I love first aid and infections. That's one of the things I really like.
Me too.
And so like, it is kind of fun when I get a call from a friend or a client or something that's like, help, what do I do for this? Blah, 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 blah. Like UTI or like urinary tract infection or mm-hmm. like an infected finger or, you know, something like that. And if I know that they have like a specific, you know, set of herbs or even like kitchen stuff around, like I can usually think like, okay, like what we can do if this is 10 o'clock at night and nothing is open and you have to address this right now is, so again, like back to that MacGyvering a solution with like the tools you have on hand, like you can do that, but like, especially for longer term or chronic things, or for folks who just want to like deepen their relationship with plants while they're going through a healing process, like it does, there is a little bit more nuance, and you can't just like make up a checklist and be like, check, check. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that people have a hard time adapting to after being so immersed in our Western medicine society, which obviously Western medicine is amazing. And some of the things that they can do are absolutely incredible. But now we also see that the system isn't necessarily the best, nor is it trustworthy or really out for the betterment and overall health of people. And so I feel like there's just these flocks of people that are like, natural is the way to go. What's that instant fix pill? And I sometimes feel like our job is to make people recognize that while yes, in acute situations, there's definitely some herbs that you're going to turn to first that can really rock your world. But more humans today are dealing with chronic disease and inflammation, and that's where they really want to get the help and where they really need the help. And it's just true that there is no instant fix pill. So if you're seeking to get out of that Western medicine world, you also have to shift the way your mind thinks and look at yourself as a whole. And I think that's the difference in working with an herbalist and having a consultation versus your 30 minutes in the doctor's office waiting room and your 7-minute visit that you're rushed in quickly and you check all the boxes.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's a sea change to like see an herbalist and sit down for an hour and a half, like sometimes even more, and just like talk about like all the conditions surrounding what your primary complaint is too. And like, yeah, just investigate that and kind of dive deeper. And also like, I love Western medicine. Like, I don't love how it's practiced. I don't love the profit stuff, but like the tools that Western medicine has, I find very, very helpful and useful. And like, if I ever have, you know, my appendix burst, like, please, for the love of God, get me to Western medicine.
Yeah. Don't be giving me herbs right now. That's not what's going to do it. Yeah.
But I also think that, you know, part of what my journey with Western medicine has been is to realize that like, they're also doing some like assessing and sometimes guessing at what our bodies are going to respond to with certain things. Like, I didn't realize when I was a very young woman and tried to take some birth control pills that they just guess at which dose of what is going to be useful for you. And then if you come back and you're like, this isn't working for me, they're like, just keep on going for like 3 more months and then we'll see. And like, they don't tell you what a responsible herbalist would tell you if they were trying to do something to like help you with your generative organ health and your menstrual health, which would be that actually 3 months is usually the minimum that you'll need to see some results and find out if it will eventually work with your body, because like each part of a menstrual cycle sets up the success for the next one and shmish, shmish, shmah. And so like gaining a lot of knowledge through herbalism, even of just basic physiology, like I realized that a lot of things that had happened to me in my my interactions with Western medicine, like were sharing some of the same background, but like doctors and their ilk like are taught to just like not be upfront with the fact that like, well, this is probably going to be the thing that works, but maybe we're going to have to adjust it. Like, this is like the best we can do once we've assessed like what your constitution and your build is and blah, blah, blah. Which I think would have actually helped me trust them a lot more earlier on.
Yeah. If you opened up those lines of communication and realness instead of like, I am up here, this is what you do, I will not tell you the other secrets behind it all. So that's a really interesting perspective that I never really thought of. And I like that. It's awesome.
Yeah. Like, you know, people experience that with their journeys with antidepressants too. Like a doctor will just put them on something and then they'll be like, I feel like a robot all of a sudden or whatever. And then the doctor's like, oh, let's try this next thing. And then they're like, now I feel like, you know, asexual robot, which I didn't feel like before or whatever. And like, you know, again, like it just would make so much difference up front if like we got to interact with the Western medicine system in like a more humane way. And then there are lots of times when herbs could step in. Like there are absolutely times when folks need antidepressants, when they thrive on them, and that's fantastic. And I totally support that. And then there are also times when like herbs actually might do the trick more gently and more effectively than some antidepressants too. And so I think that it's great to have both. And it's really wonderful to work with herbalists and with conventional practitioners that like recognize the strengths of both too.
Yeah, absolutely. And they definitely both have strengths and weaknesses. And it's so interesting to bring up that like perspective that they're just as experimental. Like when you work with an herbalist, finding those right herbs that are going to help you and your unique levels of depression and that are going to be the ones that make your body go, yeah, this is it. Instead of like, oh, that herb makes me feel really, really funny. Okay. Yeah. let's figure out the right one for you. And it can be complex. It could be overwhelming to do on your own. That's why it's nice to have somebody to guide you into all of it. I want to go back to another thing that you mentioned earlier, and this is just kind of fun, but what was that first tincture you made when you were in college?
I went to a college that had one of those like January sessions where like, you know, students teach classes or alumni teach classes or whatever, and it could be the underwater basket weaving or whatever. And so I took one that was tincture making with Garth Call, who I'm sure doesn't remember me, but he came and brought some fresh echinacea root and we made echinacea tincture. And you can imagine what a cool first tincture that was, because for anyone who hasn't ever had echinacea tincture, a quality one is just like tingles your whole tongue and makes your whole mouth salivate. And you like know that something just happened and that you did it right.
Yeah. That's so funny. So, like, and if you don't get that tingle, then you need different echinacea. Like,
yeah. Straight up. Yeah. So my partner at the time and I like lived off of that for that whole winter of my senior year in college. Like, and I don't recall either of us getting sick, like, but we totally, yeah, dosed it all the time and thought it was really great.
That's awesome. I love echinacea tincture. I was just having this discussion last weekend. It was my niece's birthday, and one of the moms at the party I see a lot, she's a nurse, and was talking about how as an herbalist, and she's like, she's a labor and delivery nurse. So she's like, yeah, when I discovered like how all of these herbs were really helping produce milk. I was just blown away. And so were my other colleagues. And like, this is where I love watching Western medicine and herbalism and natural, all kinds of integrative healthcare come together. It's really beautiful. But then I was talking about, like, I really love to try and make like herbs that taste great, because as a mom, I know that kids are incredibly picky. And the one that she brought up was like, yeah, echinacea. How do you get someone to love that? And my daughter actually loves echinacea, but she gets it in a glycerite form. So I'm like, oh yeah, here we go. We can do it this way. So yeah, I love that you brought up the echinacea. And I think that learning that tongue tingle thing back in my earlier days, learning herbalism was always so much fun. And now I love to share that with people too. That's fantastic. And I can imagine that you didn't get sick much that year either. Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
I definitely don't remember us getting sick. That's for sure.
So Missy, I've known you for quite a few years now in the herbal circle outside of Portland and inside of Portland. And I could always get to know you more and more and more and more, but I know that you're an incredible teacher. And I know so many people that have come through your Arctos program. And I think what you have to offer is amazing. And I would love for you, I know we've touched a little bit on what you offer, but I would love for you to just share with my audience, like, exactly what is it like? What do you teach at Arctos? And yeah, basically sell your shit, Missy, because I think you're amazing. And I know that I have quite a few listeners that are in the Portland area, and many people say, hey, will you take me out for a plant walk? And I'm like, you know, that right now, as much as I love to walk in nature, I don't take other people. I go by myself. And what I do is online. And I'm so grateful that I was able to learn in person with people these kinds of skills. And so what you offer is amazing. And I want you to tell people what you offer.
Well, thank you. That is very flattering, and I greatly appreciate it. And I love teaching. So it's always so nice to hear compliments about my teaching, because it's definitely a thing I really, really love doing.
I can resonate with that feeling.
The structure of our herbal immersion program is basically more or less one day outdoors and one day indoors. And so outdoors, we'll be learning ecology, like how to start sussing out, like what might live where. And I always I feel like such a freaking superstar when I do that, like when I'm in a new place and I'm like, ooh, I see this. Maybe I should go further that way and I'll find this other friend. And so that's really cool. We'll talk about botanical identification so that folks can be safe, like they can harvest the right thing, and build up knowledge of plant families, because that's not only a shortcut to plant ID, but it's also a really good clue to herbalists about what questions to ask. Like, if I know something's in the mint family, I'm going to start wondering if it's aromatic, if it's settling to the stomach, if it's uplifting. If I know something's in the carrot family, I'm going to wonder if it's poisonous. I'm going to wonder if it is carminative, which is a fancy way of saying anti-gas. I'm going to wonder if it has an impact on the menstrual cycle and generative organs, or if it's warming to the lungs. I'm going to wonder all kinds of things. So, and then we do a lot of talking about ethical wildcrafting and putting some of that into practice and figuring out, you know, where our own personal compass is on that. And of course, because both Grady and I love them, we dive into fungi when they're around too, and get into edible and medicinal mushrooms. And then for the classroom part, I go through herbs by body system. So we talk about the respiratory system, the kidney system, the digestive system. And I do a brief physiological overview of that system. So we have some basics down about what goes on in it. And then we dive really deeply into usually 10 or 12 herbs that have an affinity for that system. We talk about where they grow, how to cultivate them, what parts to harvest, when to harvest, how to make the best medicine out of them, when they're useful, you know, in certain ways, when they're less useful, like when to choose them over other things, how to formulate them well with other herbs. And then we also make a different kind of medicine each time. So we go through like a wide variety of the basics, how to make real medicinal strength infusions, how to make great tinctures, how to make salves, and then also like much more creative, like how to work foods in like herbs into your food, how to have fun with it. And then we also like do some side dives into special topics. Like I care a lot about first aid. That's part of how I got into herbalism. So we do some first responder skills and get just really like dialed in with how to handle emergencies well and work our herbal skills into that. So that the next time you see like a bike wreck or, you know, somebody takes a spill and maybe break their arm or whatever, like you have the tools to figure out how to respond safely and effectively. Mm-hmm. Cause when I did do that wilderness first responder course, I came out of it with an axe to grind that like everybody needs those skills.
Absolutely.
Like, we should all be doing that in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got my woofer in the early 2000s when I was a backpacking guide and wilderness therapist. And since then I've always been like, man, this really needs to be an herbal woofer program. Like there needs to be that going on. So I love that. So
possibility.
What was that?
Oh, it's a future collaboration possibility.
Oh, gosh. Already in there. Part of the problem is there's so many seeds inside of my brain that are like, let's all grow in all the ways. Because I want to do all the things. And I do get so much joy out of teaching, for sure. So yes, all about it. No doubt about it. So just listening to like all that you said, I don't even know if that you were done at all, but like everything that you offer there is everything somebody would need to feel incredibly confident with their natural healing skills of plant medicine, from like touching and getting to know the plants to starting to think about them in a much more inquisitive way. Like, ooh, I now know these secret little things about this plant that it can do for people. Like, that's amazing. And understanding the body systems, I think that's something that people in our society forget because we have those instant fix pills. But the more you understand about those body systems, the more strategic you can be in choosing your herbs and making them significantly more effective than oftentimes what you can get at the drugstore, which is amazing. To me, I think your program sounds magnificent, and I can totally see why so many of my friends that have gone through your program are like, heck yes, Arctos, all the way. How could any of my listeners sign up for your herbal immersion program if they were interested in that?
Well, they could just go to our website, arctosschool.org. Arctos is spelled A-R-C-T-O-S, and it's Greek for bear because bears are really good herbalists.
Thank you, because I was going to ask, what's it mean?
when we were coming up with a name, we tried out a lot of them, and we tried out Great Bear School of Herbalism, and the gut reaction from one friend was, are you trying to sound Native American? And we're like, we are not. Let's go back to like Latin or Greek or something so that we can. Yeah. And anyways, we love bears. They're great herbalists. Arctosschool.org. And on the list of offerings, you'll see that there's an herbal immersion program that starts on April 12th. So we're getting real close. But there's still time to do an interview and sign up. We still have a few spots. And it meets Wednesdays and Thursdays going through mid-October. We take a few different few week breaks in there. But for the most part, Wednesdays and Thursdays, 10 to 4. We just get really into the plants and really into community too, because that's also like one of my sneaky goals is like to get folks to make more community. And when I see folks a couple of years later hanging out that were in the same class, I'm like, yes, it worked.
Winning. I love that. Community is so incredibly important. And I'm definitely still connected with quite a few people that I went through herb programs with. So, and I think that's one of the beautiful things about like the herb community for the most part is just filled with beautiful people. But how could you not want to connect with them further?
Absolutely.
I love that. I love that. And then are there any places on social media people can follow you?
Yes, we have a Facebook account, Arctos School. And I have a personal Instagram that you're welcome to follow where I put some school-related stuff. Sometimes I also will probably complain about, like, you know, the cats running around my house or whatever, too. But you'll get cute cat pictures as well as cute.
Which is very important for the soul.
So, yeah, Arctos School is a Facebook page, and you can find us. Also, we have a meetup page, Portland Herbalism. And you can follow us there if you're not a Facebook person, or you can just check in with our website to see upcoming offerings. Within the next week or so, I'll be dropping some more upcoming classes on that website. So if folks aren't in for a whole program, but want to do something that's like 4 weeks long, or maybe even one session, I am thinking of offering my in-depth tincture making all day class where we make a whole bunch of different tinctures. So, keep your eyes peeled for that, because that's super.
Yeah, I'm glad you started talking about those, because I was like, wait, don't you do some smaller things that aren't the full immersion too, and take people out on plant walks and whatnot if somebody's like just crazy busy but still wants to learn, and maybe 1 month is less busy than the other for them, they can come and learn more.
Yeah,
that's so good. Missy, will you say your personal Instagram handle?
Oh yes. As long as I can remember, it's Plant Lover PDX.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I always forget it. I should probably change it to something I can remember it better, but Plant Lover PDX or PDX Plant Lover.
Awesome. I love it. We will for sure link to any and all of those things. And before we wrap up, if you got one chance to give people some Missy Rose words of wisdom in the world of herbalism before we are done, what would you choose to say?
Oh man, there's a lot of options. I think I will go with a really simple, you know, if you even use one herb medicinally, even if it's just like a bag of chamomile tea after dinner to settle your stomach and make you feel sleepy, like, you are an herbalist, and you can, if you want, expand your herbal repertoire. And it's so easy to do, even if you just do one herb at a time, that, you know, having a relationship with plants can really change your life. And you can go further and further with that one chamomile tea bag, right? Because like, if I had five herbs to work with, like, one of them might be chamomile, like, so much. So you could do a year long study with just that.
I love that about plants. Like, you can just keep diving deeper and deeper. And then after your year long study, you're probably still going to learn more things 10 years down the road about that one plant and be like, oh my gosh, how did I not know that? I thought I knew everything there was to know about these plants. So I love them for that. And that is great wisdom. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mel. This has been so fun. It's always a joy to talk to you. And I'm so glad that you're out there sharing your love of herbs with the world.
Thank you. Right back at you. Thanks so much, Missy.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of The Herbalist Path. Being on this journey with you is absolutely incredible. If you dig this episode, please leave me a review on your favorite podcast player and share it with your friends so that together we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers. On another note, I must mention that while I know you're getting some good info here, it's important to remember that this podcast is purely for entertainment and educational purposes and is not intended to be a substitute for medical treatment. While the information in this podcast is absolutely relevant, herbs work differently for each person and each condition. That's why I recommend you work with a qualified practitioner, whether that be another herbalist, a naturopath, or your doctor. So thank you again. I am truly honored that you're tuning into these episodes and on the path with me to make sure that there's an herbalist in every home again. Don't forget to share this episode with your friends so that we can make herbalism. Hashtag spread like wildflowers. I wanted to take a quick pause to show some love and gratitude to our sponsors of the Herbalist Path podcast, who make this show possible for me and possible for you too. So here it goes. Medicinal mushrooms are all the rage these days, if you didn't know already. And with great reason, because they are powerful medicine that can improve your health and your life in so many different ways. When they're well made. Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of stuff on the market that isn't going to be so effective. And that's why you need to find a brand that you can actually trust. For me, that brand is Whole Sun Wellness. And this is the creation of a brilliant woman and fellow mama, Jamie Bonfiglio. She's an international mushroom educator that has been working in the medicinal mushroom industry for years. And this is when she saw firsthand how many other companies take shortcuts when it comes to their products. And Jamie wasn't having it. She set out to build her company the right way. Whole Sun Wellness is here to raise the industry standards so those crap mushrooms on the market aren't getting into your body or your family's body. Whole Sun Wellness is the first company to test and report nutritional facts for all of their extracts. They go beyond industry standards every step of the way, from sourcing to extraction and final testing. And as the owners of the largest medicinal mushroom farm in the United States, Whole Sun Wellness is taking control of their supply chain for the highest quality and absolute full transparency. They're even the first company to include pure mycelium extract in every single product. So when you're thinking of getting medicinal mushrooms for you and your family, Whole Sun Wellness is exactly the ones you want. Also, be sure to check out their new Mycolites. These are the world's first dissolvable electrolyte tablets. They're featuring functional mushroom extracts that'll give you more energy, more stamina, and recovery as well. And who couldn't use all of that? The other thing is, they are these adorable little mushroom-shaped tablets, and they come in like a little Altoids box, but way cooler than Altoids, because they're Mycolites. Anyways, head to wholesunwellness.com to grab yourself some Mycolites and all of the other functional medicinal mushrooms that you and your family need. And of course, you can grab that link right here in the show notes now.